Hello, everyone. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is Jay Nemro, and this is episode 596. What a number. It's going to get bigger when we hit 600. What then? Well, we'll just face that when it comes. Today I'm going to be, or at least on this particular thing, I'm on the road for about 2 hours here, and I am going to talk about home economics, a pursuit, a study, a philosophy near and dear to my heart. Let me give you a little background. My higher education is, my training is as a home economist. Any intelligent person will tell you that there's no money, at least not very much money, in the study of family and consumer sciences. To begin with. I mean, there's possibilities out there, but, you know, there's only going to be two or three good fields in any area of study, any area of research. But I was never attracted to those. I wasn't attracted to fashion or to food science, particularly. I was always more interested in home and family and child rearing. Of course, it was also a time of life issue. I was married. I was having my oldest children, and these were the things that were most in my mind and in my heart. So that was what I studied as a young man. There's been two or three things come up here in the last couple of weeks to make me remember. I am grateful for, I'll give her a name, Merlene Olmsted. She is was one of my professors in college long ago, approaching 20 years ago. Certainly became a mentor and a friend, and just as part of her job, she is the department head over family and consumer sciences at the university I went to. And of course, I'm an alumni, so I get the alumni stuff. I get the stuff to tell you to, you know, be a part of these things. You know, to be a part of the activities, the ongoing activities of a college. Of course, you know, they're asking me for money, too, which I don't have much to offer. I have a pretty small charitable contribution budget, and it goes primarily to my church, to humanitarian efforts, stuff like that. Not to say that contributing to the college would be a bad thing at all, but just that, you know, I've got to segment this. Anyway, Merlene has been sending me stuff, and the State Association of Family and Consumer Sciences, the old AHEA, which I belong to, the old American Home Economics Association, brings back memories, brings back memories and thoughts of why, because people often ask me, you know, right now my occupation is as a computer specialist for a university, you know, not for the university I attended, it's for a different university. And I, you know, and so people by nature will kind of ask, well, Jay, you know, you have a degree, right? You go, yeah, wasn't it in computers or information technology or something like that? And I say no, and I'm not reticent about telling them what I went to school for. I'm a home economist. I have a degree in home economics. And you know, people look at that kind of askance. It's a field that is morphing. I can't say it's fading, but it's morphing. It, you know, it's morphing into different things, different areas that we get associated with. My work is actually somewhat allied. I do computer work for home economists, among other people. So I can't say I have my hand in it, but I get to hear what's going on. I get to hear what people are about. I work for the Cooperative Extension Service that's overseen by the university I work for. And I do work for the field offices of the Cooperative Extension Service, your county agent. I'm his computer man, or her computer man. So, although I'm not in the field, I am certainly allied with it, and I provide support services for those in the field. And I'm glad I do. I'm glad I can hopefully make their message what's the right way to say it? Help them be better messengers of the things that I treasure. And I do. I treasure the philosophy, the outlook of home economics. Always have. And, you know, as an idealist sort of a person, as a person who wants truth, as a person who wants a better world, and wants people, and I guess my chief frustration always ends up being when people don't want that too, you know, is just, it's a struggle within me to try to be kind sometimes to people who aren't on the same idealistic binge I am. In politics, you can see it with my desire to be a libertarian and to have, and so that other people can have a level of freedom we don't enjoy right now, a level of just being able to do what you want. Now, I also have I don't know if it's called humanistic, human service sort of thing, that says that, you know, you want to help people that are struggling. You want to help if there's a good way to give them a leg up. And that's a philosophical topic, too. I've gotten to the point to where it's just, you know, you almost have to, it's a question of, you know, you have to get the kids, you have to get them young. You have to try to fix families when they're still fixable, when they're not so broken. And because once they are broken, the remediation is almost offensive to me from just a freedom standpoint. It's almost like my different ideals conflict in the person of some people, you know, and how do you give this person maximum freedom but try to convince them not to use their freedom to destroy themselves, their kids, their family, which I most heartedly believe is at the root of everything good and bad in society, in life, in our existence. God himself, by my religious accounting, sees the family as the very fundamental unit of society, of life, of something that you can turn to that should be the most influential part of your life, should be your family. And God, we hope that family is a positive thing, that it's encouraging, that it leads you in good directions, that you know, it's difficult for me to find the words. And I hope I don't get too emotional, because this is the depth of its passion for me. every career change I've made, well, every job change I've made has typically been to help my family. I've had better paying jobs than the one I have now, but this one comes the closest to number one being a circumstance that helps my wife feel loved, cared for, taken care of. Not just physically. We can, you know, men can fall into that trap of feeling like, you know, my primary duty is to be the breadwinner. It's important. I'm not going to say that for a minute. It's important for guys to feel like they're the breadwinner. It's important for, you know, and, but just as important is how does a mom feel? How does a wife, a spouse, you know, however you want to state it, how does she feel? Now, I'm speaking from my viewpoint as a man. You know, I'm somewhat detached. I'm somewhat, I guess, as a proto-autistic, as a Zenith sort of a person, I tend to be a man's man, you know. Everything great about man I strive to be. But also, everything that men need to be about taking care of providing for your family, not just physically, but emotionally, spiritually, you know, the whole gamut of humanity, you know, trying to provide for that, knowing that you can't do it all, but knowing that you can contribute. You know, I need to be looking after my wife's life as more, I think, than I look after my own. She does a wonderful job of taking care of me emotionally, and just in kind of a culinary way, she does a wonderful job. I'm so grateful. But I need to take care of her, too. Her needs, what she needs to see. And I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for how she takes care of me, and it makes me feel good, and that I can help take care of her, and that we together, that bond between us, blesses the lives of our children. I want my children to feel some of the great feelings that I do. I want my daughters to benefit from my wife's experience, from our relationship, and hopefully how it strengthens and takes care of my wife. Okay. Now, I don't want to get emotional here. I'll do my best. I am so grateful for my studies in home economics. And when you look at that phrase, and that phrase isn't used much anymore, it's old. It's been superseded by other things, consumer family sciences, family science. It's been broken into pieces in other ways. In some ways, it doesn't exist anymore as a discrete thing. And that's okay, because home economics, or just being about the needs of home and family, are so important. I went to, and this is always interesting, I always knew home economics, family studies, family science, family life. When it's studied, it's typically studied by women. You know, when I was going through school, I didn't see a lot of guys. I saw a lot of women, women who I loved and respected and who are my friends. And, oops, I hope that thing didn't crash and burn on me. And I'm always amazed when I come across men who are interested in this field. Now, I'll be honest, they mostly have, if they're professors and stuff like that, a lot of them receive their education or work for the Department of Family Life. There's an entire department. It isn't just a little school or something some smaller unit. It's an actual department. It's a big one. The Department of Family Life at Brigham Young University. Of course, that makes me feel good because I'm a Latter-day Saint, and that's a Latter-day Saint institution, college. University, big one. Very well respected in a lot of fields. And, you know, I can't separate my allegiance to home economics from my allegiance to the LDS Church, because they both have, when it comes to family concerns, they both have something so basic in common. So basic. You know, the whole... Here, I've got a piece of paper. Let me read it to you. This is from the New Mexico Association of Family and Consumer Sciences. And it says right here, a reminder. Here's a reminder. The New Mexico Association of Family and Consumer Sciences and the American Association of Family and Consumer Sciences, the old American Home Economics Association. Have the following core values. Here's the first one. I don't know if it's graded by how important it is, but I'm excited to say that the first one is believes in the family as the fundamental unit of society. If you were to read the Family Proclamation a proclamation to the world on the family that was done by the first presidency in the Quorum of 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Is that a mouthful or what? The leadership, the highest leadership of the LDS Church, the proclamation, that's the first statement, the first basic principle named, is that the Church and Mormons, Latter-day Saints, believe in the family as the fundamental unit, not just of the church, but also of society. And that's why I'm so, you know, I like what I did in college. I like what I do. It doesn't have to be how you make money. It goes to where your heart is. It goes to your heart. It goes to what touches you the deepest. And concerns of home and family, your children, your parents, your grandparents, those around you who you love and care about and worry about and help the most, these are the things that save our society. These are the things that save our world. Are these bonds that bind us together. I appreciate and love my friends, but, you know, my biggest concerns will always be with my family. Always. Anyway, so, I was at a, not really a religious meeting, but at kind of an activity that our stake, which is a larger geographic unit of our church. I had to drive, just to give you an impression, I had to drive about 120 miles to get to where this meeting was. And it was just an activity. It wasn't like of a religious character deeply. Of course, you know, it's a bunch of people of the same religious bent getting together. It's going to happen. Anyway, we had brought somebody down. His specialty is in family counseling. He is a child and family psychologist. And, of course, he was coming down, and the whole purpose of the thing was to improve your marriage. It was a Valentine's Day activity. So, and what came up that really struck me, a lot of things were really good about the whole activity. But we had this kind of lecture, in Mormon parlance, we call it a talk. So if I call it a talk, you know, I understand what that is. It's kind of a lecture. On improving your marriage, making your marriage better. And of course, he's talking from the position of dealing with a lot of marriages that are either falling apart, breaking, stressed, having problems. He came he came with that experience. Now, he didn't talk much about how to deal with a stressed one. That wasn't really the purpose of the thing. You know, if you have a stressed marriage, go see a marriage counselor. You know, that's our basic advice. Not that you shouldn't be talking with other people, and hopefully they would have good insight. But wonderful talk. But you know what he talked about? He talked about the concept of being a homemaker. Now, this is at the very history of home economics, family and consumer sciences. The whole study of homemaking is where this all comes from. My field, my study, if you go back in time to its very roots, very beginnings, it was the study, the scientific study of homemaking. And he discussed homemaking not as you know, making, well, yeah, to put it in Mormon parlance, we're big on making bread. Not in baking, just in baking bread. Not in just cleaning up the house. Not in just financial management type things, that kind of homemaking. But he spoke of making a home, a place of refuge, a place where people can grow and thrive, and not just for children, although that's so important too, but for everyone. Lisa and I have tried to make a home for ourselves, a refuge where we can feel nourished, nurtured, where we can feel just a good place to live. You know, it can be a hard, harsh world out there, where careers can be so competitive, where concerns with money, income, how's your food, you know, are you going to catch E. coli from fresh spinach at the grocery store? You know, in a world that is difficult and can often be sometimes a little scary, one hopes that you would have a place where you can go to, where you can feel like the world is out there, and something a little kinder, a little nicer, a little bit more nurturing. In a world that's kind of cutthroat, it's nice to have some place that's just where you're not feeling like you're in competition with everybody else, where everybody's pulling together a little bit. We try to do this in some of our institutions and in some of our organizations, and it's hard. But, you know, we can pull that off at home. For the most part, I think we can try. And I think, for a lot of people, it can be accomplished. At least that's the hope. That's what we hope for, and that's what we go for. That's what a home economist studies. How does that work? How do we make that happen? A worthy study. By golly, I can't think of many efforts of mine that are more worthy. Outside of maybe religion. And so, I'm so grateful. There's just marvelous things. Of course, I'm always heartened by the fact that in this, they're going to have the annual meeting, 2008 annual meeting. I don't think, I'm sure I didn't go to the 1998 meeting. I might have gone to the 1988 meeting when I was a student. I graduated from college. I received my baccalaureate degree. How about that? I received my bachelor's degree in May of 1993. It's been a while since then, you know. I've been out of school for 15 years now. Coming up on 15 years. And it's really great to see there's people on this list that I know. Names that I can, that are friends. People I have worked beside. People who I've worked together. Well, see, that's the biggest thing, working together with in several circumstances. My mentors, my friends, people I shared time with and with which we shared causes together. Things like that. Things that touch the heart and make the world a better place. These are the things that are at the very heart of home economics, family and consumer sciences, whatever you want to call it. And I'll tell you, not to demean at all people who are striving about child development, which was what I was into first. And I found myself starting to wane because, well, you can go back in my podcast. I think it was the ones you can see on the feed, some of the oldest ones. I think I talked a little bit about child development and how I struggle with the concept of child development as a field of study and what we choose to do with child development. One can always do that in any endeavor. Question, is this really accomplishing what we want to accomplish? Child development is a lot into the mechanics of physicality of cognition, you know, social and emotional need, what we see as being standard, of being the median for children, and I guess I was somewhat disheartened often by the fact that I didn't really want the median. I know that's good for people who are struggling. If you're way below the median, you know, the median is something of the middle. You're kind of in the middle of the pack. You're not amazing. You're not horrible. You're okay. You know, you can do that okay. If you're below the median, reaching for the median is better. I always just wanted more than that, you know. But it wasn't being more physical. It wasn't being more cognition. It wasn't being smarter or being more emotionally or psychologically stable. I wasn't ever really terribly concerned about those things. Not saying that they're not of value and of importance, but I was much more about, I don't know, see, like I said before, I tend to dig under things to see what's down there in the roots, what's at the heart of something. One of the reasons why I love home economics, it tends to answer those yearnings of the heart. Kind of like other larger picture sort of thing. Philosophy could answer some of the yearnings of the heart too. I always felt home economics could too. Broad enough, but yet focused on what I felt like were the important things of life. Child development, I'm not going to say that you know, that trying to make children better in those established ways, in those established facets of development, isn't good, but it never really got at the heart like home economics did. And when I somewhat have departed over time with child development, I have often been at variance with practitioners of child development. So when people say, well, Jay just hates school and he attacks school, and they go, no, it's deeper than that. Schools are very much about child development too. In something of a faltering way. Schools might get better if they were more concerned about child development than about what school ends up kind of spending its time doing. I struggled with child care. When I went to school, my original idea for a career outside of this was to be either a child care preschool teacher or the director of a child care center. Of course, I'm kind of a self-employment sort of guy, so it was going to be a teacher / director type of thing. I was never into being big. I am not a math person. I am not a person that enjoys the economics of scale. I'm much more of a smaller person. I like interpersonal communications. I like things like that. You know, a smaller scale. And I'd always pictured myself that way. I can't say I always did. But when the time came to go to college, that was what I had in my brain when I went for that. And it led me to home economics, because the classes, the administrators over child development in the little school, little college I went to, smaller. I don't want to call it little. It's not terribly small. It was under home economics. And I'm so grateful. I feel blessed in a way, because all the credits I earned trying to get into child development, and until I found out my passion wasn't in child development. It was in children. It was in family. And in that thing, I found myself drawn more and more toward a family-centered, a family-based sort of way of looking at things than at more of the institutional thing. Child care centers are institutional. You know, I found myself, instead of wanting to be a child care center director, I found myself wanting to do a family daycare home. And it was becoming obvious that I would never make a decent living at this. And my wife didn't want to do that. She wanted to be institutional. She didn't want me to have my work at home. She didn't want to get involved in that. And that's okay. You know, that's part of being family. You don't push people into places that they really don't want to go. If there's some way to accomplish things without being like that, that's what you do. You don't hurt people that way. And so, you know, I found myself drifting away from the things that I was working toward. Finally, it came to a head in my education. I was working three jobs. I was taking classes. I was in a class where it was like, I'd rather eat lead than go through this. Basically, the student teaching portion of being an early childhood educator, an ECE person. And I found my heart just wasn't there anymore, and work was more important, and I failed the class. And it was at that time, and I was getting tired, you know, it was the summer before my senior year, my last year of college, and and getting an early childhood education degree was just wearing on me. I enjoyed my other home ec classes much more. Oh, just, no comparison. And this is just me. This isn't to say that in general, home ec is better than child development. I'm grateful for people who become early childhood educators. I'm grateful because there are so many broken families. There are so many kids that just need somebody who knows and understands their needs. And that's what early childhood education teaches. And that's where that goes. And that's where a setting like a preschool, like a kindergarten or a first grade, that's where those people are just fantastic. You want the right people in there. You want caring people that understand kids. You know, instead of somebody who's all about the curriculum, all about the state mandated this and that and this and that. You know, all about the kids. You know how to touch them, how to reach out, how to get them. See, and that's where I come from. And, you know, well, that's not very much how education feels. Education's got other needs. Valid, but nothing that touched my heart. Anyway, so, yeah, I was looking at my life right there and saying, I don't want to be a preschool teacher anymore. But I've had some classes and things that really, more of the philosophical classes, let me be honest, I am a philosopher, but you have to have something to philosophize about. Honestly, you know, you can be a generalist, and I tend to be a generalist in a lot of things, but when it comes to, you know, but it doesn't hurt to specialize a little bit, when I looked down at all of my classes, you know, pulled my transcript and said, how many credits do I need to get just to get out? I just wanted to get my degree finished. And you look at all your classes. Each one is designated by, you know, each class has a designation, right? English 101, you know, Math 273, whatever, you know. And I looked at mine, and each one of, and the most I had was ATs. I needed to get a degree in something. I didn't want to get a degree in general studies. That's basically a bachelor's degree in nothing. You know, it's very general. If I didn't have anything else, I would have taken it. Just to say, how many credits do I need to finish up my degree in general studies, for instance. But I said, you know what? I had lots of HEs, which stood for, at that time, for home economics. And I loved those classes. I enjoyed them. I enjoyed the people I was with. I loved my instructors, my professors in early childhood ed, in daycare management. I do have a degree in daycare management, kind of the management side of child development. I have an associate's degree in that. I got an award for being the outstanding student in it. It's a total surprise to me. I didn't think I was that good. But that's okay. It worked okay. Not that I didn't like that, but oh, how I loved the philosophy, the theory, the whole feel of more general home economics. I still like child development. By golly, I've got six kids, you know. Did I used the things I learned about child development? I used the things that child development taught me. Now you can say, well, Jay isn't really following, you know, Jay has administered the Denver 2 diagnostic test to his, you know, to his young children. And you go, well, no, I don't do that. But the concepts, the principles, the ideas that I gleaned from that education, I certainly still use today. It forms the makeup of who I am and what it forms Jay. So anyway, so at that time I said, and of course it made my heart sing. If you guys don't know about my singing heart, you can go back to the podcast. I'm sure I will talk about it again later, but I'm not going to today. Oh, how my heart sings with home economics. You know, you feel a burning in your heart. Everything seems to come together. The puzzle pieces form a picture. You know, any way you want to describe that, that's what home economics did for me. And so I stayed in there. I have always said, and see, people think I'm foolish, but if I were to go back to college and get a PhD or, you know, well, I don't think I would bother just with a master's, you know. I would want to go for what I am. I'm a philosopher. You know, I want depth. You know, I don't mind a little bit of breadth, too, because everything seems to come together. All knowledge seems to coalesce into one whole, one ball. And, you know, that's how you see chemists that win awards in physics. That's how you get that stuff. Because these things kind of have some commonality. And the more commonality you see, the more commonality you bring to it, it's strange how bringing it together makes it richer. Because you can take all the learning of, like, say, English literature, and you can apply it to other things, and it just makes everything richer. So, okay, so I did that with home economics, because it just sang to me. So I had enough credits. I could, if I worked hard that last year, I could graduate with a degree in home economics. I will never ever say that it was a mistake. You know, people will say, boy, you're not making money with that thing. And you go, that wasn't the point. The point wasn't to make money doing it. Now I have. I won't say that I haven't made money in ways. You know, I was a WIC nutritionist for some years. I ran child care centers. I worked for them, and then I went into, and then I spent a couple of years doing training for child care workers, providers. If I were to go back to college, and you know, I might. I'm not saying I'm not going to. But if I were to do it, maybe after just kids get a little, feel a little harder to deal with, or I'm not so in the midst of the struggle of trying to survive with a lot of children, once some of my kids have gone on and start having their own kids, maybe I'll return to it. Because I do, you know. These are the things that speak to the heart, and when you're older, you can go back to those things that speak from the heart. I'm not going to do computers for the rest of my life. Computers are boring. Computers are more frustration than they are anything else. It's just a tool. It's like, I have a degree in hammers, you know? It's like, I don't want to downplay the fact that some people love to study hammers, and how many hammers there are, and stuff like that, but that's not me. I like Hoban's family. So if I were to go and get my PhD, someday I think I will, I want to do it in called economics. In this field, family life, family science, whatever title it has on it. Because I am. You know, I think there's nothing better than like being a college professor that's passionate about what you're teaching. So if I were to get to that point to where I'm a PhD and I need to be a lecturer or a professor of such a study, you know, of a field, that's the field I want to be in. I want to be a doctor of philosophy. Not really an education, although I'm not going to downplay the fact that many people get there with a degree in education, a doctorate of education. I'm not so much an educator as I would be a philosopher, a thinker, and saying, let's get to the very heart, the very root of this. Family, home, love, taking care of each other, seeing after each other's needs. Family's all about. Anyway, so okay. And I finished up at home ec. Never regret it for a minute. Had some fantastic experiences. Learned from fantastic people that taught me a ton. Not just the things that we talked about in class. Not just those. Important though they were. Life and what really matters. When they share their experience, they share their life with you. What an amazing thing. That goes beyond education. That, you know, and if you're I always said that I went to school to learn how to be a father. And I started out in child development thinking that was the essence of fatherhood. I ended up in home economics, which I think was closer to what I was wanting. And I think I'm still getting a little closer yet. And I may still get there. I hope I do. Oh, man, I hope I do. Someday I will. I think I will one day go after that thing. But you'll know what I'm going after. What that field is called might not exactly fit what Jay is after, but it'll be home economics. It'll be some deep facet of home economics. Stirs the soul. Alright. Well, that's all I really had on this particular recording. I'm certainly not home yet, but I think I've said enough. And when I get these mailings from Dr. Olmsted, let's be a little more formal just so we can respect what she's done in her life. When I get these from my friend Merlene, my mentor, my heck, fellow laborer, these, you know, it tugs at my heart because that's where my heart is, you know. I make money fixing people's computers, but, you know, just because I'm technically good at that doesn't mean that it defines my life. These are the things that define me. So, am I sad that I don't have a degree in information technology or in those things? No. What I am grateful for is my is my association, my study, just drinking deeply of the study of homemaking, making a home. Father, mother, grandparents. Someday I'll have that too. Wow. I wonder how that's going to change my perspective. I wonder what new richness I will get from that. I do. But someday you'll see. You'll see Jason Nemro, PhD. Home economics, family consumer sciences, whatever they're going to call it then. Whatever they say. Anyway, I think there's nothing more to say. I'm going to leave it there if I possibly can. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. Let me make sure I can find, there it is. This is episode 596, a good one, I think. A good one. I hope it was good for you, too. Have a great day.